Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We're Baltimore Positive and positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. I was over at Costas and Simonium the other day. We're going to go there for a cup of Super Bowl, but for the holidays, there's only one home. And for the holidays, I'll be in Dundalk with Gina Shock on the 18th. We're revving this thing up with the Maryland Lottery. I have Raven scratch-offs. I'm going to get me some candy cane scenteds. I got to throw a note to Roz. We're doing five shows. We thought we were doing four. We've added Gertrude's on the 19th. Our friends at GBMC on board for the holidays. I'm trying to educate everyone when dad's home, granddad's home, Uncle Luke's home. That maybe give him the elbow and get your sister to side check you and say, hey, get your colonoscopy. So that's going to be my little message to everybody now that I've had the bejesus scared out of me. And then there's football, which has kept us entertained. I have this is the last piece of pumpkin pie I have in the whole joint, Luke. So I'm going to enjoy some pumpkin pie, but I sort of curiously left a dangler in our last segment about the Ravens and Lamar and Pittsburgh week and Aaron Rodgers and Mason Rudolph and wherever both of these franchises are and getting booed and fans are mad and they're pissed at the coaches and like all of that. Number one concern for the Ravens over the body over the next 5 weeks has got to be Lamar's health and his ability to play well, take care of the ball, deliver the
Sure.
ball, be an MVP caliber quarterback. I mean, that's what it takes to win a Super Bowl. Like, especially when you're 6-6, it can't just be slopping around and be okay and the running game okay. It has to be way better than what we've seen it be recently, and we're all believe Lamar's capable of that. So that part of it aside, if that goes well, what concerns you next, Luke Jones?
Line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. I mean, it's really no different than what we've been talking about with the offensive line all year and with the defensive line since Nnamdi Madubuike went on IR and we knew he was going to be out for the year. I mean, it's still that. It's still and obviously that ties in with Lamar's health and Lamar's ability to be at his absolute best. And that's not to give Lamar a pass in that way. Lamar has to be better. There's no question about that. We haven't seen a good version of Lamar Jackson for a while now. We certainly haven't seen the MVP version of Lamar for a long while at this point in time. But how much of that is impacted by the play of the offensive line? It's huge. I mean, they have to be able to run block. They have to be able to pass protect. You need to do everything you can to not be in third and long. Not that any offense wants to be in third and long, but when you're a team that is not great when it comes to pass protection, you need to be in a position to not be in third and long. You want to be in third and manageable. You want to be in third and five, third and six. If you're much more than that, then it's, you're throwing and then the defense can pin its ears back. And then you're wondering if Falele is going to hold up and Voorhees is going to hold up or Emory Jones at left guard. And we've seen Ronnie Stanley at times have his struggles this year. We've seen Rosengarten not have a great sophomore year after a promising rookie campaign. So it's still that. And on the flip side, as much as we had talked about the pass rush looking better over the last three, four games, the addition of Draymond Jones, Mike Green at time, before he tweaked his ankle a couple weeks ago, but he's had some better performances. We've seen Van Noy, we had seen Van Noy show up a little bit more than we had seen most of the season.
Well, it was the thing about Oweh being gone and then
Sure.
Draymond Jones coming in and
Sure.
immediately being
Keen up.
noticed in a
Yeah.
way, right?
Right. But on Thursday night, that took a step back. They got, I feel like they got some pressure on Burrow early and then that went away. And obviously, he gets the ball out quickly, right? So, but that's what it really comes back to for me. If we're looking at this team, not just in terms of what it's going to take to make the playoffs, right? Because we know this is a bad division. We know Pittsburgh's not good either. We know they certainly have their deficiencies. But if we're looking at this in the big picture, getting to January and what's most going to derail their ability to make a long run, yes, Lamar's number one in terms of his health and in terms of Lamar just needing to be better. But Yeah, and that's everyone's. If that's not your number one, then you're wrong, right? I mean, like, that's just, I mean, I hate to be so flippant about it, but that's, it's a captain obvious thing. You need your quarterback to be right. And clearly he hasn't been right. But beyond that, yeah, it's tough for me to look at this offensive line. It's tough for me to look at this defensive line and feel confident that they're going to put together three or four games in a row to get to a Super Bowl, right? And have any chance of winning it. I mean, frankly, I mean, you just kind of look at the state of the NFC versus the AFC right now. I mean, I think the NFC has, I think the Rams are great. Sunday's result aside, I think Seattle is really good. Concerns about Sam Darnold aside, right? Knowing his history, like it's hilarious. Even the very best teams in either conference, other than the Rams, I feel like there's a yeah, but. I mean, I just feel that way about everyone. So, but
But
that
when do you
said,
believe in a quarterback? I mean, Hurts went and won the Super Bowl, right? So, like, when do you believe in a quarterback, or when do you stop believing in a quarterback, Burrow, Mahomes, because of the cast around them? Herbert, same thing, who's going to have a hand surgery now, right? Or believing in Bo Nix, or believing in Drake May, or believing in Daniel Jones, or believing in Trevor Lawrence. Right? Who had all the pedigree in the world, like Stafford, like Goff, right? Until they actually, like Darnold, who was a lottery pick. You know, these guys were lottery picks. We always forget Lamar wasn't. I never forget that Brock Purdy wasn't. And when he was dancing in Cleveland, it was very clear that, you know, he danced like a guy that did not have first round money, for sure. But I would say for the pedigree of quarterback and thinking about it as though Lamar, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Matt Stafford. I'll give you Matt Stafford. He now is going in the hall. He's going all friggin' Hall of Fame. So what, you know, like I and certainly based on the way and Aaron Rodgers, who's going to the Hall of Fame, right? In a different way. I don't know what to say about any of these guys. Because warts on the older guys, for sure. Warts on the best players because of their cast, absolutely. Warts on, well, they're not even warts. They're not even like pimples. I mean, I don't know what to make of Drake May or any of, like, I've never seen them play a game in January. You know, I've never seen them go hotsy-totsy 13-4, 14-3, and be a one seed and sit and file their nails for a week and then come back and have the foghorn blow in New England and have Lamar Jackson show up or have, and Derrick Henry or have, I don't know, pick your poison, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. Somebody's going to show up there and they're going to have to put big boy panties on and play like Mike Vrabel wants them to play. I'm not convinced of them, or certainly not Denver after taking Marcus Mariota to the distance and almost losing by, you know, ink, you know, an inch, right? So I look at all of this as a wide open tournament, and it makes for a really fun conversation in regard to who's better, who's best, because the Rams got their ass kicked, and you called them a great team.
I mean, I don't know if I'd say they got their butts kicked, but they lost. Sure, they lost. But at the same time, what's the threshold here? I mean, like 2007 undefeated Patriots, right? I mean,
But I don't know what the threshold is when Carolina is good enough to win a game. You know, like when the Miami Dolphins came up and bloody a nose. You know, like in any given week. We thought the Bears was like a kickover game, and now I haven't even mentioned Caleb Williams. I mean, I haven't mentioned the Bears, and they're the toast of the world right now, right there. I don't know where the money is in Vegas, by the way. Who do they think that bet on all of this? Who do they think's going to win the Super Bowl? Because I don't. I this is a quite a field race right now, is it not?
yeah, I mean, who knows? We're going to see. I mean, and that's not me necessarily feeling great that the Ravens are going to do it or anything like that, because the Ravens, to me, feel like a mediocre football team. But that said, I mean, just look at the AFC playoff standings right now, the playoff picture. You go right down the list. Bo Nix, hey, at times he makes some great plays, and then he does some other things where you say, what the heck was that? I mean, he had the interception on Sunday Night Football where what, to Bobby Wagner? I think it was Wagner, right? Linebacker right over the middle of the field. None of his guys were around. Like, he just, it looks like he threw it right to him. You have Drake May, who has played at a very high level. Honestly, right now, if you're asking me to size it up as it stands right now, with Kansas City out and Buffalo being the 7 seed and having their issues, and kind of going down the list of these other teams that don't have the, premier MVP level quarterback, at least yet, even though Drake May's got a chance to be MVP, I suppose, even though I still think it's Stafford's award to lose at this point in time. But, he's the one that, it kind of feels like it could be him. That said, is his supporting cast around him good enough? Right? That's not a great Patriots defense. As much as we think of Vrabel, and look, Vrabel's done a great job with that team, but statistically, that's not a defense where you look at them and say, oh my gosh, like, that's a fantastic
Well,
defense.
right off the bat, whoever the one seed is, they get a week down and then they get to
Sure.
sit at home. So there's a
So that's an
lot of
advantage, yeah.
reason and no super teams coming in. I mean, and we keep looking at the Ravens because of the skill position players, because of the payroll and the pedigree, and the Hall of Famers that are on the team. We keep looking at them as something different in the way that if you looked at Pittsburgh as Aaron Rodgers, Cam Hayward, T.J. Watt, Jalen Ramsey, blah, 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 D.K. Metcalf's reputation. I don't know about productivity, but you take the star players and you'd say Kansas City doesn't have enough of them around Mahomes and Chris Jones on the other side of the ball and whatever Spagnuolo can draw up in the dirt. But I still don't think you want to see the Chiefs getting off the bus in Baltimore after 9-8 Ravens team slaps here to 3-2 and wins by the skin of their Pittsburgh. And they're going to have to go to Pittsburgh to do that, by the way, too. That's another gig here, right? So, whatever you think this week is, you think it's no good? You have to win the last one, too. There are going to be bye weeks in week 18 around here. So, the notion that any of these teams that Josh Allen gets off the bus as a wild card here, January 10th or 12th, whenever that game is, and that's what you draw. And New England's sitting at home for a week, and they're going to get the Chargers or so. I'm making that up, but they're going to have a much different path. I mean, whoever that one seed is, Denver, Chicago, New England. There's going to be a lot of reasons to like a team that's won 13 or
Well, it
14
just,
games, right? Just in general,
I
right?
mean, it for me, it's not even that they won 13 or 14 games. It's that they don't have to play in the first round. I mean, it's, there's one let you have one fewer, that your path is shorter. I mean, it's just that simple. Think about it, and it's a math problem, right? Think about whatever your odds are to win any game. When you eliminate a game, and basically, what a first round bye really means is, congratulations, there's your wild card round win. That's what it means. That's really what it means. Yes, their home field advantage and a week to rest and all that, but you are not put in peril for a 60-minute football game with a ball that is not perfectly round, that bounces in weird ways and weird things happen. We saw
Not to
that with,
mention injuries.
sure. I mean, so that's always been the biggest advantage. It's not home field advantage, it's not your crowd. Yes, those things help. But it's always been that you don't have to play that extra game. And it's the same thing that you and I talked about this a couple years ago when the Orioles got bounced in the division series. And so much debate about baseball. And obviously baseball is a little bit of a different animal, but humor me for a moment, anyone listening. The idea is you don't have to subject yourself to a best of three where you have a bad 24 hours, literally, and can be done. Whether you're playing home or away in that scenario. So you'll always take the bye. You'll always take the trip to the next round, regardless of what that means or momentum or all these different things that talking heads talk about. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but in many cases, we overstate and overrate those kind of things. So that's what it comes down to. But yeah, I mean, put it this way. If you're Denver, if you're New England, if you're Jacksonville, if you're the Chargers, if you're the Colts, like any of these teams, and obviously not all these teams are going to be playing a home playoff game, none of those teams want to see Kansas City coming to town. If Kansas City makes it to the playoffs, which, by the way, is a big if at this
Well,
point
there's
in
a
time,
lot. That's my,
but if
let's
they
go
do,
down. Let's go
but if
down
they
this
do,
road.
but if they do, hold on, if they do, You're talking about a Kansas City team that probably has had to win out to go 11-6 to assure themselves of a wild card, or maybe they've been afforded one loss. Maybe they can have one loss, but I don't think so. They don't have a great tiebreaker profile. So, but the point is, if they get in, no one wants to see them, including Buffalo, who has beaten them plenty of times in the regular season, but can't beat them in the playoffs. If you're the Ravens, you certainly don't want to see Kansas City coming to town. And let's face it, they won't admit it. They don't want to see Buffalo coming to town because Buffalo has beaten them twice in the playoffs. And for these other teams, and I will say this, and this is not me even saying that I think the Ravens are a great football team or even a good football team, because I don't think they are right now. I mean, they just aren't. They're 6-6. You are what your record says you are. But those teams, those upstarts, are very nervous of the idea of Lamar Jackson coming in to their building, just knowing what he is capable of. Whether he's doing that right now or not is not the point. It's what he's capable of. And yes, the skeptics will say, well, the Ravens aren't the same team in January. And I get that. But I'm talking about a collection of teams that have don't even have the January failures. They have nothing in January because they haven't been there. So yeah, that's kind of what the pecking order still looks like. And of course, if you want to throw the miraculous scenario of Joe Burrow, but I mean, obviously, if the Bengals make it, that means the Ravens aren't, right? So then it becomes a moot point as far as Lamar. But yeah, these other teams, I mean, look, could this be Drake May? Could Drake May be Tom Brady in his second year and they win the Super Bowl? Or at least get to the Super Bowl? Sure, why not? I mean, I'm gonna give you a whole bunch of sure, why not in the AFC right now, especially if you're talking about Kansas City not making it. If they make it, which means that they've had a heck of a final month, then I think even them being on the road, you perceive them way differently than everyone else. And they've earned that for the last 7 years. I just think that's
Well, they're going to
reality,
have to earn it to
but
get
they have
themselves
to
in,
earn
and
it. Yeah.
that would be the case for the Steelers, for the Ravens, certainly for the Bengals, for any of the teams that make it. And this is where I want to sort of draw the line and say, if we were BSing about this over pizza, like when Mark Messina was living with me 30 years ago, we put it up on the blackboard, and say, all right, these teams are in. I feel like I feel like Steve Kornacki, All right. Denver, New England, they're in some combination of Indianapolis, the Texans, or Jacksonville. Somebody will emerge there as a division champion. And the old seats, the Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore seats that are always there and usually a rung down, there's one for Pittsburgh or whatever, the next level of never for the Raiders or, for the Jets, no, but for the other teams that I mean, even the Browns have snuck in 2 years ago. So, as far as those chairs go, and the notion that Buffalo, Baltimore, and Kansas City, two of th or three of them, throw Pittsburgh in, two or three of them aren't going. Especially if the Denvers and the New Englands hold tight and are there. Kind of thought the Colts were going to be that, but that remains to be seen. There's a lot of football left, 5 weeks left for all these teams to say who's looking good right now. The Bears, the Bengals, who could be a team that can win 4 out of 5 because they have the best quarterback in the league. And I don't want to say that about Joe Burrow, but I'll take him. And that's no offense to Mahomes, Lamar, Josh
I still
Allen.
think you're nuts to take him over Mahomes is one, and then it's everyone else.
All
But
right.
anyway, go ahead. I know you like Burrow. Look, Burrow's great. I'm not.
I just think he
Anyway,
also has
sorry.
tools. I think he also has
I just.
guys he throws the ball to who are better than everybody else. So,
Okay.
even when the offensive line stinks, if he can get rid of
Right.
the ball
Sure.
8, 10 times a game, he can do enough to.
But I just. I mean, I don't know
We're
how
coming
much.
off a week where they got their ass kicked in here on Thanksgiving and the Bengals came in and ate the turkey. So, I mean, it's okay for me to say Burrow is better right here, right now because he is and he was. And I guess this is where I play the game for you, especially during Pittsburgh Baltimore week, because this is where I really want to get at it with you about it. Because you've sat down there. I don't give him money anymore, sort of famously, my PSL, the whole Chad Steele, you can look it up on the internet, but you're there watching the stadium absolutely empty out. The Pittsburgh thing and the Fire Tomlin thing and the Renegade thing that we talked about earlier that I'm sure they'll be taking calls over on the fan about that all week. But I want to play this out because at some point there's going to be an end to Tomlin, and at some point there's going to be an end to Harbaugh, and at some point there's going to be an end to Lamar here as a $50 or $60 million quarterback to say, in the way that there was an end for Joe Flacco. And Pittsburgh has no grand plan, right? I mean, there's no plan. Aaron Rodgers is old and bloodied and left wrist in a cast this week and all of that. But it is a really interesting time for all of these years you and I have gotten together, and to say that the Ravens have gotten their noses bloodied this year would be an understatement. And oh, by the way, go to my columnist at Baltimore Positive. I can still make a case for them winning the Super Bowl for all the reasons that we just talked about, the mediocrity of everywhere. And in the end of the day, if Lamar heals up and gets right, they've got Superman, and they've got Derrick Henry, and they've got D-Hop, and they've got Roquan, and they have assets. The genius of John Harbaugh, whatever that would, the value of that would be. But Zay Flowers, they have matchup issues. I mean, in a lot of matchups. I mean, I saw the case being made on the flagship Sunday night, late in the Sunday night. I love you, Pete, but that if Zay Flowers doesn't get the push and Isaiah Likely in the end zone, the Ravens win the game going away. And we're not even talking about Joe Burrow this week being anything, or we're not talking about Lamar stinking because he hit Isaiah Likely on a touchdown pass that got taken away from him, and Zay Flowers a touch to take away from him. And so I hope that that's not what they're preaching inside the building this week. Not that they lost the game by three touchdowns, because that's the way it kind of worked out. But there is a case to be made here that for whatever team here doesn't make the playoffs, and by the way, you just say Kansas City's not making the playoffs, right? Or
No,
no, but like as it goes, right?
but the odds are very much against them.
As it goes, the more Jacksonville stacks wins, they get to get in. If they
Sure.
get the 10 and you get the 9, they get in. That's the way it is. So, like, all of these seats at the banquet that are being held, and the lowly AFC North, where 9 wins probably is going to get it done. Probably is going to get it done at this point, I would say. And I'll throw Cincinnati into the hat with that too. 9 wins is probably going to get it done. I think 4-1's a heavy load for any of the for five. 4-1's as heavy for the Ravens and the Steelers as 5-0 is for the Bengals at this point. But somebody's going to earn in. If they get to 10 wins, they've earned in.
Earn.
Like, if any of these teams get to 10 wins, they're on a streak. They're 4-1. They're playing good. That means that the Ravens would have beaten Green Bay, New England, would have done something
Yeah.
if they get to 10 wins. If the Ravens get to 10 wins, they've done something, and we will be talking about them, and they'll be deodorized as Buffalo marches in here, or Jacksonville march, whoever it would be marches in here. They'll be deodorized because they will have won 10 games, and they'll have some piece of tape, even if it's just good fortune and turnovers, and they play a snow game and the ball squirted the right way against Green Bay, that they would have won these games. Even Green Bay doesn't try. Like, they would have won games. That's something that even last week, when they won 5 in a row, 3 in a row in a row, we were like, yeah, I know more about football than, than what, than beating the Jets in that sort of fashion to think that, and enough about trench work, and I know enough about trench work, and we're having Aaron Schatz on this week talking about trench work this week, to know that it's never good there. There's never nothing dominant there, so it's hard for everything else to look dominant when the O-line, D-line aren't dominant in any way, and they're getting beaten more than they're winning in on every down and distance across the board, across the game tape. That being said, somebody's getting their feelings hurt. There's going to be some shakeup. I mean, fans screaming to fire the coach and walking out. And here, I mean, the owners watched. They played 5 home games, right? I mean, and 3 of them have been absolute empty out. And I heard the president of the team speak. I paid $100 for this wisdom, so I want to share it. Musashi. When asked what the concerns and the number one complaint about the Ravens, this is a days when people paid money to be here, Sports Business Journal. He talked about traffic getting home, that everyone's concerned about getting home after the game. And I'm thinking to myself, and I'm watching Sunday Night Football, and they're playing ads, buy tickets, plenty of tickets available, come see your Ravens. I'm thinking to myself, civic temperature ain't great. Certainly ain't going to be great here at Baltimore Positive for me and how I've been treated, my family, people I know, the Justin Tucker thing that rubbed, tugged me the wrong way. Sorry. But I would just say for that, for these franchise booing Renegade, dude, right? And this is not, all right, this is me being a dick. I'm going to be a dick for a minute. This Barstool crowd that they've, and the gambling crowd, and the tailgate, I'm going to be drunk crowd, and all of my 50 something friends who were the good fans who built my radio station and came to the barn for autographs and were into the team, into the game, into the civic thing of that stands for Baltimore and I love it and all that. I don't know where the Gen Next thing is with their participation and women and flag football and gambling and just things that did not exist 30 years ago in my generation. What compels people to come to the stadium, cheer hard, spend a lot of money, not yell fire the coach, not be prompted week after week after week on the scoreboard as to when to be loud and when not to be loud and what time they want to get home and when they're on their phones and all of that. Like the experiential part that the owners want. I mean, I saw there was a video going around this week, incidentally, about a couple of kids in the front row at the Ravens, where they now have televisions, apparently. It looks like a gambling console in Vegas, like a down on the field where the band used to be. I haven't been in the state. Chad hasn't given me the tour, neither has Sashi, by the way. Maybe the traffic was too bad getting out. I don't know. But I saw that they have like these televisions and people were watching like cartoons down there instead of like watching the game. And I'm thinking to myself, for these franchises, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, I'm talking Bradshaw, Unitas, Flacco, Jerome Bettis, like Roethlisberger, all of it, not making the playoffs is going to be a real problem. You know what I mean? Like it's going to be a problem in regard to coaching, in regard to what the hell's happening here, especially in Pittsburgh, where like there looks like there's no plan on the quarterback thing there at all, right? And here, the plan on the quarterback thing is, well, Lamar's, what's his cap number? 70 something, what is it? 70?
I think it's like 70. I mean, they have to do an
70.
extension.
Yeah. I
They're
mean,
going to have to do an
like,
extension.
and it gets expensive, and do you believe or do you not believe? Where are we? All of that, and I'm not saying they're not going to believe in Lamar, but do they believe in John? Do they believe in Ronnie Stanley? Do they believe in Marlon Humphrey? I mean, probably not, right? But where they are as a franchise in picking up the pieces, if somehow the Ravens go 2-3, and don't make the playoffs. Or the Bengals somehow catch fire and beat them again next week. And, you know, then we go into Christmas where the Ravens have New England, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, you know, and to your point, they better beat the Steelers this week, dude. Like, it's huge, but if they beat the Steelers, might be the end for Tomlin, might be an earthquake in that franchise, given the age of some of their veteran guys as well. So there's tectonic plates shifting this week during this game. And they're going to see each other with all the stones on the line 5 weeks from now and be more bloodied, more beaten up, more tired, more atrophied. I know one thing, both of these teams will have less players on the field when they get together the first week of January because it's that time of year. I, for all the things I've said, this is, there's huge stakes for the franchises when really bad things happen, like this team that's supposed to go to the Super Bowl that doesn't make the playoffs, or Mike Tomlin in year 17 when they're booing Renegade That's what's at stake for his football team and for Aaron Rodgers' career at the end of his career. That's what's at stake for those cats over the next 5 weeks, man. Big game this week.
Sure. I mean, especially for Pittsburgh. I mean, they haven't even won a playoff game in almost a decade now. I mean, what, 2016 was the last
You
time.
say especially for Pittsburgh, but if the stadium empties out and they're sick and the Ravens are 6-7, whoo, big game for the Ravens too. Like, I'm just saying, that would really be a record.
I didn't say it wasn't a big game for the Ravens. I'm saying especially for Pittsburgh, who's done. I mean, yes, the Ravens have a lack of January success. They have zero January success over the last 9 years. I mean, they haven't gotten to an AFC title game, at least like the Ravens did a couple years ago. And that's not to say the Ravens are like, I'm okay with their lack of January success. Point is, I think it's a little more extreme on the Pittsburgh side with that. That said, yeah, I think for me, and you know, I look, a lot of the off the field stuff, you're talking about ownership, you're talking about front office, you're talking about business, you're talking about a lot beyond just what's on the field. But strictly in terms of what's on the field, after the way both of these teams played in week 13, man, what is under the hood? What is between the ears right now? Now, the Ravens, look, I don't want to overreact to the fact that, yeah, they've won five of their last six. Understanding it also hasn't been a murderer's row of opponents, right? As much as the Bears, I mean, heck, the best win over that stretch was against the Bears with Tyler Huntley playing quarterback, right? Which I don't know what that really says other than, hey, good for the defense, good for Tyler Huntley. And the Bears, I think, have continued to get better since then, right? So, but when you lose a game in the fashion in which they lost on Thursday night, knowing how much work you had put in, how much of a grind it's been just to get back to 6-5 like they were. I am curious now to see how they respond to that, because it's always that case, right? Especially when you start, when you're talking, I mean, this is December football, right? We're into the month of December now. And we've talked about this team a lot when it comes to January, but this is also a team that went through 1-5 early in the season. And we know how that felt at that point in time and the questions you're asking at that point in time. And yeah, to their credit, they climbed up off the mat. Hasn't been pretty, hasn't been dominant, hasn't been impressive, right? I mean, it's funny. Someone asked me this question over the weekend. At what point have the Ravens looked their very best? It's still the first 3.5 quarters of the Buffalo game in week one, right? I mean, they have not looked that dominant for most of a game until of course, the last 5, 7 minutes of that game. But they have not looked like that since then. Are they ever going to find that again, at least in this season? We're into December already. But for me, how do you respond to Thursday night? Do you bounce back and, hey, it was a lousy five turnover performance. It could have gone differently. It didn't. We didn't play well enough, period. End of story. We have to be better. And you go back to work and you compartmentalize. And, you know, 24-hour rule, 48-hour rule, whatever, right? It was a long weekend.
But watching the Steelers play on Sunday makes everybody around here feel a little better
Should.
because, like, that was a hold your beer. Like, just
It was
both of them.
terrible.
So,
Terrible.
this week, all the way around, and to know that they're playing for the division, and it's one step on a climb for both of these franchises that look to be beleaguered. Somebody's going to have to win. Somebody's going to have to outlast, not just this week, this month, the next time they play next month. 2 points for the schedule makers in Raj's office for putting this together, right? Like the day the schedule came out, we looked at this and said, I wonder if Rodgers will be on the field at all. You know, wonder what it'll look like. Wonder if Hayward and Watt will be healthy. I wonder how Lamar will look. I mean, there was no thought in the world that we thought the Ravens would be 6-6. We just didn't. We just
Of course
didn't.
not. Of course not.
And so the whole thing stacks disappointment on disappointment that even when they get back to 500, get over 500, and I write columns like, hey, they can still win the Super Bowl, and they can because they have the talent. But if the talent to win the Super Bowl ends the season 8-9 or 9-8 and outside the tournament because the Steelers somehow find a kick to win a game or find something, or Lamar is still isn't right, or Mason Rudolph comes in and does enough not to screw up, or I don't know, but I don't, just a dangerous week, dude. It's really a weird thing to have them play on Thanksgiving, get their ass kicked to the Bengals. This is not the way you and I were plotting my eggnog holiday adventure last week, you know? Like, I thought the script was turning in some sort of a different way. And you and I are convinced, having watched all this football, that when the offensive line stinks and the defensive line stinks and the quarterback's gimpy and the operation's not great, it and turnovers, just this is not where you want to be. And certainly where Pittsburgh is, put on Pittsburgh sports radio today and it'll be just as bad, it'll be worse, right?
It's worse.
But
It's worse.
that's
Yeah,
go ahead.
the difference is, and I don't use these terms too, I try not to use these kind of terms too lightly, because I don't mean it to be personal, even if it is Pittsburgh. They had their manhood snatched from them on Sunday. I mean, Buffalo absolutely dominated them physically, dominated them. That is a different kind of loss than five turnovers committed, right? Five turnovers committed. And look, I detest there's a segment of this fan base, and I think every team does it now. I don't know if it's a social media thing. I don't know if it's a thing where you don't want to
I
blame
think
your
it's a
players,
young person's.
but
I just think we're in a different
I
world.
completely hate how whenever the Ravens lose, oh, they beat themselves. Now, have they had some games over the last 5, 6 years where they've beaten themselves? Sure. I will absolutely say there've been some games like that. I don't think that's been a big part of the problem this year specifically. Do they? I think they beat themselves
Well,
quite a
Derrick
bit
Henry fumbled every week the first month,
in the
right?
Buffalo game, but Detroit beat them. Kansas City beat them. Houston and LA, like, okay, the Ravens were really injured, but they were beaten in those games, right? They went, because what's the implication when you say you beat yourself? You're not crediting your opponent in any way, right? You're saying,
Well, when
oh,
you're
it
giving up
wasn't because you were
14 or
good.
18 points in the fourth quarter and blowing big leads,
Sure. So any
I'm not a guy that sits here and blames the
right.
ref or we shot ourselves in the foot or whatever. How
Right.
about we weren't good enough?
Sure. But and the Ravens were not good enough on Thursday night. But if you're asking me which one is more difficult to turn the page from, committing five turnovers or
And having two
having
touchdowns kind of right at the goal line from Isaiah Likely and Flowers, that would have made the game smell a whole lot
Sure.
better, right?
It's funny.
It would have changed the game for
I
sure.
still say the Flowers offensive pass interference. Look, do I think that ended up being really ticky tack? Yeah. But I would also say when I watched that in real time from the press box, I thought, oh, that's offensive pass interference. When you put your arm up like that and you're on the outside and the referee and the officials right there, they're going to call it. I mean, it wasn't smart. And by the way, and I even looked at this because I rewatched the game and everything. The difference there compared to when Ja'Marr Chase caught the deep ball, go back and look at that. He got a nudge on Marlon Humphrey. It was one of those veteran savvy kind of plays that I actually think he gained way more of an advantage doing that than what Flowers did on the long
I
touchdown.
think Hopkins
But
almost on every play.
right.
Hopkins is a magician.
But the point is with that, like as a tactician, that was an error by Zay Flowers because you're going to it. It certainly looked like you in real time. It absolutely looked like you pushed off,
That's not
kind
even
of
Zay
blatant.
Flowers' game,
So,
right? That
but
long ball like thing. I mean,
it hasn't
he's
been.
more
Looks kind of
crafty around, but I'm just saying part of
yeah,
that
it
is
hasn't been.
him not being able to win battles physically. It's not his game up
Well,
in the air in that way to hand check.
he didn't
It's
need to
not the
do it
biggest
though.
part of it. I
He didn't need to do it though. I
100%.
mean, he's got the speed, right? I mean, he doesn't really need to be physical in that
Run
situation.
by,
Just
just
run under
concentrate
it.
on the ball, dude.
Yeah,
Just
yeah,
watch the
yeah.
ball.
So
Yeah,
anyway,
right.
but to go back to the greater point here, talking about the Ravens and the Steelers, I think it should. I emphasize should because, hey, I thought they should have won on Thursday night going into the game. I picked them to win, right? So who knows? All bets are off at this point. But if you're asking me which is easier to recover or which should be easier to move past, it should be the five turnover game compared to the mental and physical beating that the Bills gave Pittsburgh in their home stadium on Sunday, knowing that the Bills were, I mean, think about this. The Bills were playing without Ronnie Stanley and Roger Rosengarten. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Like, they played without their two tackles, and they still ran the heck out of the football against the Steelers, knowing that Buffalo wanted to do that, and they still couldn't stop it. That is as taxing mentally as I think any kind of loss you can have, other than if you, lose your starting quarterback, lose three other start, other than injuries, right? Which clearly make a t take a massive toll if you're losing some of your best players. So that's where I question both these teams right now. What's under the hood? What's in between the ears? Where's your manhood right now? And again, I'm talking in football context, right? I mean, so it's going to be interesting to see how these teams bounce back, if they bounce back. I mean, Pittsburgh, we talked about this late last year, and we saw it firsthand with the Ravens beating them twice. I don't say this lightly, but I think we both know, and a lot of people looked at how the Steelers played late in the season last year. They kind of quit. If they weren't the Steelers, if that wasn't Mike Tomlin, if it was just a faceless, nameless opponent, and you just watched how they played, they look like a team that kind of quit. They lost their mojo completely at the end of the year last year. And some of that is just, hey, the Ravens were better than them. They lost to Kansas City on Christmas. Kansas City's better than them, right? But
Well, I can't imagine the Ravens going up to Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh finishing the year 1-4, and the Ravens beating their ass in January and booing Renegade. I mean, the Ravens have a chance to dance on their grave 5 weeks from now and their bumblebee outfits and like a, so that's what I'm saying. And the Steelers have the ability to do that to the Ravens as well.
sure.
That if this week goes the wrong way for the Ravens, and then the Ravens have to go see Joe Burrow, they have to see Drake May, they have to get on a plane and go to Green Bay in the dead of winter, Christmas week, and then they got to go to Pittsburgh. And they got to win. They lose this week. They got to win kind of all of them, sort of kind of like we're getting there, especially if Cincinnati starts to win a little bit. And who knows, right? I know they have a quarterback in a while. I know they just won. I don't need to make a case for Cincinnati anymore, that there might be a different team than they were a month ago, in the same way that the Ravens are a different team than they were a month. All these teams. I mean, you talk about Pittsburgh losing their mojo or Buffalo trying to find it in their running game. I mean, Buffalo put the ball on the ground and in a strange fumble, and then he still came back and ran it up there. Just just dusted off and said, "Give me the ball." Kind of Earl Campbellish for me, but I would just say for these franchises, I just want to start that fire of the tectonic plates of saying, and here you go. I'll leave you on this, Luke, because we'll have all week. We're going to talk more about this all week. It's Pittsburgh week. What are we going to do? Talk about Oriole trade? Right? Yeah, maybe we will. Maybe we'll talk about Oriole trades or Oriole signings. But for me, if the Ravens are up like 14 with 2 minutes left to go, I hope, and I know that Bob Popick is in a battle, and he used to be the guy that played music, and I'm not sure that he is anymore, because I don't come down there anymore. But he was my friend. I played a lot of rock and roll. He would play tape requests for me. He said, "What Rush song you want to hear today during the game?" He played Limelight for me or something, So my heart to him. But if they could play Renegade here for our fans,
That would be hilarious.
like.
Man, that'd be great.
And for me, you just laughed out loud in that heinous sort of I hear David Modell. I just like David would love that. So if you
Be
want to
really funny.
honor David, you want to honor me who's been, sequestered. I'm sequestered, Nestor. Been a bad boy. Yeah, that's a good I just think it's a good idea. What do you think? No?
I mean, I don't think there's any way they'll do it. And
Don't boo Tommy Shaw. We don't boo Tommy Shaw.
I don't think
It's
they
an
do it
angel.
because I think it's one of those cases where, all history aside, I do think the organizations respect each other, and I just feel like they wouldn't do that. But man, that would be a heck of a troll job, that's for sure.
Oh,
There's no
mama, I'm
doubt.
in
I
fear
mean,
for my life.
I've minced no words about it. Like, look, I've been to we've been to Pittsburgh plenty of times.
Hangman is coming down.
When it's a good game and things are, dare I say, things are going well for the home team, boy, that when Renegade comes on, that's a pretty awesome atmosphere, just objectively speaking. but
That's a Ray Lewis moment.
yeah.
It is.
So I mean, I'd say the same thing about the, you know, I mean, Seven Nation Army. I mean, it's, I know,
Yeah.
it's not really.
John Allen and I, he's doing a show
It's not
Christmas
really.
Day.
It's not a
I don't
Ravens thing.
get
So many
Jack
teams.
White. I got
So
to
many teams.
understand Jack White better. I need somebody to explain Jack White
But
to me.
so many teams use that, and I mean, I know that became kind of the Ravens thing, you know, for the
Yeah. I'm
2012 team. But
no, I'm done with it.
you hear that
That's
everywhere.
going to get me
Like,
a fine doing that. They got Draymond Jones a fine to
right?
say
How
no.
about
Cut that
that? That was
out.
crazy.
Cut it
I
out.
did like his joke on social media. He's like, "Oh, my kids aren't going to have Christmas presents now." But yeah, but I'll leave you the just my final thought. Where are the both these teams mentally? What's under the hood at this point when they both, in different ways, and again, I still think the way Pittsburgh was embarrassed is a different animal psychologically than what happened to the Ravens on Thursday night. But how are they going to respond? Will these teams bounce back, or is this the beginning of one, or I don't know, maybe both of them do go in the tank and maybe Cincinnati steals the division, right? I mean, it's not likely, but you know, I am going to be interested to see how these teams bounce back because, boy, Thanksgiving weekend was not good for either of these two teams that, yes, are tied for first place in the AFC North, amazingly, at 6-6.
That might have been the best 45 minutes of radio I've done, well, today. But we're trying to make it better. I'm doing a Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have Raven scratch-offs as well as the candy cane. I want my bag to smell like peppermint. I want to smell the way Santa smelled at East Point Mall before the Penguins were there. The Maryland Lottery and our partners at GBMC, who have kept me alive and healthy. Thank you, Dr. Oscari, and everybody over at GBMC. Putting us out on the road. Five Maryland Crab Cake Tour stops coming up beginning next Wednesday at Fadley's at Lexington Market. Shipping for the holidays. Order your favorite crab cakes. Costas, Fadley's, Coco's, they all ship. And they're all delicious. And everybody pits my sponsors against each other except my sponsors, who all are the nicest people on earth and don't want any of that. So order from all of them. They're delicious. Stop by, visit for the holidays, pick them up. There you go. And come see me. We're at Fadley's next Wednesday. We're at Deep Pasquale's in Canton doing the Feast of the Seven Fishes on Thursday morning, as well as the Feast of the Seven Sausages. And then Friday, we're going to be doing the show at Honey's, which I love Asian food. And I think they've outed me. By the way, Luke, they said, is that good looking Luke Jones guy coming to Halethorpe next Friday? So I haven't promised you out, but they did ask about you. The word has gotten out on you on the internet at Baltimore Luke. So, but they have like pan fried dumplings and Asian delicious beef and broccoli. So I'm going to have the crab thing that they do there, the crab pretzel thing that they do there in the dip. That's cool. And also, the following week, we're going to be at Costas on the 18th. And this is where, like, I get a lot of rock and roll questions for John Allen and Gina Shock. I've been making a list because I went to this Cameron Crowe thing and Eddie Vedder, and I got a question in with Eddie Vedder and Cameron Crowe and Sheryl Crow that, like, I love talking Ravens, and we're about to do Orioles. But I like talking rock and roll, and rock and roll means something to me. So I'm having some fun with that. So on the 18th, a little rock and roll Christmas in Dundalk. Come on down, hon. We'll be at Costas on the 18th. And the 19th, we're going to go uptown to the arts. I'm going to have Dan Rodericks and my cousin by marriage, John Shields. I don't know. Maybe you could talk John Waters into coming over. Just one time, John Waters on the show. I want John Waters for Christmas. John Waters. Maybe if I say his name right, I could get him out. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We're having fun. It's Pittsburgh week around here, and the Orioles are doing stuff, spending Mr. Rubenstein's money. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.